Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for being able to gather together again this afternoon. And we pray, Lord, as we've all had something to eat and a bit of rest from the first one, that we would just liven our spirits up a little bit, Heavenly Father. And we just pray and thank you for the privilege of once again coming back under your word. And we just pray for your grace and mercy to be upon us this afternoon, Lord. We're ever thankful, Father, that we have come to honour and serve you. And, Lord, we praise you for your word to us today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And what's the time? I promised a shorter message, which we will have today. We're looking at 1 John, the believer's fullness of joy. And we come to chapter 4, if you'd like to go to chapter 4 there of 1 John. We'll be looking at false teachers and false spirits. And I better turn there myself. We read there, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." We are reminded there about the cautions of who we fellowship with, because there are many false spirits in the world today. When you think about it, there are many more in the world today than there was in the very early church. There are many more types of religion today than there has ever been. But there is only one true religion, and that is Christianity. You look at all others, and they're man-made. In our country today, and I'm concerned with our country, there are too many false teachers and preachers preaching false doctrines. They love to make an impression on those who listen, and they lead them off into heresy. There are many precious people who are weak. They haven't been instructed fully in the Word of God. They're saved, but haven't studied. And if it weren't for the Holy Spirit within, they would be led into gross error. Now, praise God, 1 Peter 2:6 tells us, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Now, we need to pay attention to the warning. Look at in our text, 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Now, if there were a lot of false prophets in John's day, then how many more there are in our day today? You know, you've only got to go on to the media these days, and it's hard to know what the truth is. If you're not grounded truly in the Word of God, it's hard to know what the truth is. The things some people preach and the things that they teach, they've taken the simple message of being saved by grace through faith, and they've twisted it around, and they're teaching another Jesus. They're putting people under bondage. They're giving them the liberty to sin and do whatever they like without any consequences. There are thousands upon thousands of false prophets in our country today. Now, Jesus declared to his disciples that one of the outstanding signs of his return to this world would be the multitude of false prophets and deceivers. Now, Matthew 24, 4 and 5, and verse 11, he said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." In verse 11 there, "And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many." Now, we're told in our text, 1 John 4, 2, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already as it is in the world." Now, we're told here how you can tell the difference between someone who is true, preaching the true word of God, to someone who is false. It says there, "Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Now, we may be thinking, well, just about every church I know says that. But what are they really saying? See, does that mean everyone who confesses that there was a man named Jesus Christ, he was born, he lived, and he died like any of the Roman Caesars or like any of the kings and queens of England? No, that's not the meaning here. You know, many historians, teachers who aren't Christians believe and teach that there was a man, Jesus, who lived on this earth. But they do not believe he was God come in flesh to this earth. Now, great Bible scholars who have spent their whole lives studying the original languages of the Bible, and it was very interesting saying that, that part of verse 2 where it says that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh should read, "Jesus is Christ come in the flesh." What a difference that makes. What a difference. That's a huge difference. It's a huge difference between "Jesus Christ has come" to "Jesus is Christ has come into this world." In Matthew 1, 18 to 25, We know there's a story. We see Joseph and Mary were espoused. We saw it say engaged to be married. And Joseph finds out that must have been terrible news for him that Mary was with child. Now, under the law in Deuteronomy 22, 20 and 21, if a young woman was found to have lost her virginity, she would be stoned. Incredible, isn't it? Incredible. But Joseph loved Mary, and he intended, as we know, to put her away privily, in other words, privately. He wasn't going to make her a public spectacle. And we're told in verses Matthew 1, 20 and 21, "While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, Jesus, the name, means Savior. But we need to keep in mind, that's his name in human form. That's who he is. Christ is his divine name. The Anointed One. You see, Jesus was God's Christ before he became man's Jesus. He was with God in the beginning. He was Christ, Messiah, Divine One, the Anointed One. And that makes our text much more clearer and easier to understand, because every spirit that confesses that Jesus is Christ come in the flesh also then must confess that Jesus is God, that he is the divine Son of God, born of a virgin. And every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh confesses his deity. his incarnation. And it is the first and fundamental test on every spirit that claims to be God. You see, there are many well-to-do men and women, many preachers, they say a lot of wonderful, nice things about the Lord. They point out how extraordinary he was, how unique he was. He was a one-of-a-kind man, one who lived like no other had lived, a great teacher and healer. But you see, someone can believe all of that about him and still be lost and go to hell when they leave this world. See, believing all of that is not enough. We must confess that Jesus is God's Christ, come in flesh. And if he wasn't, then he is the greatest con man that this world has ever seen. He is the biggest liar that this world has ever seen. And he has committed the greatest blasphemy that this world has ever known. Why? Because he claimed to be equal with God. He claimed that the Father and he was one. The only begotten Son of God, the Anointed One. Now, in many so-called Christian circles today, they chant and they rave. They go on, and I've seen it. I've got it on tape, so it's not made up by me. They chant, "I am anointed. I am anointed," and on they go. They're not. They're false prophets and liars. Jesus warns us in Matthew 24, 4 and 5. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying," what? "I am Christ." In other words, "I am anointed," and shall deceive many. See, people look at these false teachers and they think, "Man, that sounds cool. I'm anointed. I'm anointed." But what's the real truth behind what they're saying? You see, we're told in our text, 1 John 4:3, "Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And that is, this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." You see, this verse clearly says to us that if a spirit does not confess Jesus is Christ come, that spirit is of the devil, not of God. It is the spirit of Antichrist. And we have been living in the last days since the crucifixion of Christ. And if that's true, then we must certainly be in the last days of the last days. Right now, antichrists are present, and immediately after the rapture of the church, the antichrist himself in person will appear. Daniel 8:23, he's called the King of Fierce Countenance. John 17, the son of perdition. 2 Thessalonians, the man of sin, the Antichrist. See, his spirit is already at work in this world, and he will come after the church is taken out. When we're together with the Lord in the air, he will come. Right now, there are many Antichrists, in other words, false teachers and preachers, who stand behind pulpits all over our country teaching a false gospel. The truth is, they are called by Satan, they are ordained by Satan, and they will spend eternity in the lake of fire with Satan. Now, 2 Corinthians 11:13 tells us, "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You see, too much today, oh, they're a bit different to us. They're still preaching Jesus. No, they're not. Not Jesus Christ, the true Son of God. They're preaching a false doctrine. You see, Satan has counterfeit churches filled with counterfeit ministers. And listen carefully, counterfeit members who refuse to believe in the blood atonement, the verbal inspiration of scriptures, the virgin birth, and anyone who does not believe absolutely in those truths is not saved. They have extra-biblical revelations. They deny Israel's rightful place in this world and the future world to come. They say man can forgive sin and make you right with God. And these ministers of Satan are showmen. They're getting the praise of man. They love to make money for themselves. They preach a liberal gospel. They never preach against sin. Why? Because they don't love their congregations. What sort of preacher wouldn't preach against sin, trying to help his people that God's put him over to live right with God? Something wrong with those people. It's wrong because they're false ministers. They never preach a literal burning hell, that if a person's not truly born again, that's where they'll be for eternity. And they definitely don't believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, I'm not judging. I'm just sticking with what Jesus said in Matthew 7:30, by their fruits ye shall know them. They're deceivers. They are imposters. They are enemies of our Lord Jesus Christ. They preach another gospel which is not the gospel. They're in it for the fame, the prestige, the money, the control, and they enjoy being up front and in the public eye. They are cunning. They are deceitful liars, just like their father, the devil. They're deceitful workers pretending to be apostles of Christ. Listen carefully. The devil does not care how much religion a person may have. He does not care how faithfully he or she attends church. He does not care how much they give each week, so long as that person stops short of trusting the shed blood and finished work of God's Lamb for the remission of sin. They're in it for themselves. They are wolves in sheep's clothing, and they're damning souls to hell with their false gospels. Who else but Satan would preach, oh, you're definitely saved, you're not, you've got no hope? Who else would preach that? Who else would preach those people, they're not elected, so that's the end of them? Who else would give no hope like that? Who else would say, listen, just come over here, this man can forgive your sin and you can go to heaven? Who else would deny that Christ is the only way? The devil. But people are fooled. any way is fine. God says there's only one way, and that's through His Son. The devil will damn anyone, preacher or layman, who is not covered by the blood of Christ. And these people, so-called apostles of Christ, are actually the enemies of the true gospel that should be preached today. And you notice something in that verse, they transformed themselves. They're not transformed by the power of God. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on His name. No, these people transform themselves. They make themselves ministers and teachers and preachers and workers. They transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. You see, on the surface, they seem okay. They dress right. They go through all the religious motions. They stand behind the pulpit. They use a Bible. Not a literal one, amen. So they have all the outward signs of God's minister, but in their hearts they're hypocritical, they're false, and they are evil. Absolutely evil. There's no excuse for it, people. And we shouldn't be surprised in Corinthians there what Paul is saying. He says, and no marvel, don't be surprised about it, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And amazing, Satan, who at one time, Lucifer, the son of the morning, the anointed cherub, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, now who is he? The prince of the power of the air, the God of this age. In 2 Corinthians 4, 3, we read, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of men which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, the devil is transformed into an angel of light. It's interesting, in the Bible, light is a type or an emblem of purity and holiness. And here the scripture's telling us Satan has what? He's not pure and holy, but he has taken on the outward appearance of a holy personality. Listen, he didn't deceive Eve and Adam and Eve by coming in his true form. He would have appeared pretty smart to them. Inwardly, he is a destroyer, a deceiver, and the deadly enemy of Christ and all who are truly born again. And by taking on this outward appearance, he easily leads people astray. It is so subtle. It is so cunning. It sounds like the gospel, but it's not. And people are falling for it. Oh, it's only a little bit different. What's a little bit about saying that person is damned without a choice? That's just outright wickedness. And by taking on this outward appearance, he easily leads people astray. Who wouldn't be excited about saying, listen, you can have anything you want regardless. What a wonderful message. Man, I'm going to that church. I can have it all. Doesn't matter. I can just name it and claim it and it's mine. How evil and wicked is that? we should never ever assume that Satan is going to show himself as he really is. A wicked, abominable, dark character full of lies, murder, and evil. See, the problem today for many, we see Satan in the pubs, we see Satan in the gutters, we see Satan in the drugs that ravage this world. Yet we fail to see him in the worldly wholesomeness of charities, of preaching social gospels, and wholesome entertainment. We fail to see him there. Therefore, Corinthians 11:15 says, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Listen, these are really bad people. And they act under the guidance of the devil. They carry out his plans and his purposes. And we should always, always be on guard, very careful not to listen to anybody or read anything that has denied the fundamentals of the faith. Oh, but that sounds okay. It's all right. I can leave that part of that person. No, you can't. Because not only is it dangerous for believers to support a minister or a church who denies the deity of Christ, the incarnation, the virgin birth, to preach another Jesus, it is dangerous to support such a person, because to support them is to support the enemies of God. And believers who do so will lose their reward. Not their salvation, their reward. Now in 2 John, here's a spot test. I might pick people up a bit. How many chapters in 2 John? Two or three? Quick. One, thank you. So there's no false prophets here, amen? For many deceivers, verse 7, are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Again, Jesus is Christ come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things, and pay attention to these next few words, which we have wrought. Which we have wrought. But that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Now John tells us there in verse 8 to be careful that we lose not the things which we have wrought. And this is important because this is referring to stewardship, our service of God, the rewards, not salvation, because we do not wrought salvation, you see. Salvation is God's free gift. But our stewardship brings reward. And you folk who bring your children to church, kids club and the like, who show them that church is not airy, fairy, fluffy, but important business with God, that's a good work. You don't want to lose your reward for that, by supporting false gospels and false doctrines, which we do if we support them in any way. If we knowingly support any system or person or teacher, we will lose our reward, but not our souls. Now, there's no use or point trying to claim innocence in this and say, oh, well, I don't know whether they've got it all right. Some stuff might be okay. I'll just leave that alone and touch the other. That's not good enough. We should know if a person is a fundamental Bible preacher. I didn't say Baptist. I said a fundamental Bible preacher. If we are truly born again, we do know whether the preaching is truth or not. And the Word of God is the one that declares we know by the Holy Spirit who dwells within the believer. You see, people say we can give and take here on different things. The Word of God doesn't say that. It never has. And it never will. We have to be true to Him who loved us and gave His Son for us and not play around with these gospels that may be exciting the flesh. Who, if you take the words out of their music, sound no different to any rock and roll music that's going on. We need to know, and we know by studying the Word of God, by making sure we aim up what's being taught to us, what's being taught to our children, is truly the truth of the Word of God and not a false spirit or a false prophet. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the caution you give to us concerning the false and lying spirits that are at work in this world, where people flock to have their flesh pleased rather than pleasing you. Father, we thank you that we are a church that's accountable to you, each and every one of us. And that we keep our focus on, Lord, on what is taught and what is preached. Because it's not the truth of your word, Lord. It's the spirit of the Antichrist that's at work. Protect us from it, Father. Help us to see that this world we live in today, Lord, has cast aside all things to do with obedience, made it a dirty word. But what greater joy can come from being obedient to you? There is none. We pray, Father, you would keep our spirits touched by your spirit, Lord, that we be aware of just how subtle and cunning the work of the devil is, and not fall prey to his ways. Lord, we thank you for your word to us, for the encouragement, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.